Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting on the air, but
yes,
we are. And it's another scorcher in Orange County. What part of the year is it, Paul?
I don't know anymore. It seems like it should be getting colder and it's getting hotter.
It's supposed to be fall, or actually we're officially winter. Aren't we officially winter?
Well, it's that weird time of year, Santa Ana, when everything switches for a couple weeks.
Santa Ana, you blame Santa Ana for everything.
Yes.
Poverty, homelessness. Oh, wait, hold on. Santa Ana wins.
Okay, Santa Ana wins. Never mind.
Yeah. But no, seriously, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Global warming or just California weather?
It's just the Santa Ana winds. It always happens. It's a little late this year, a little late in October.
Man, I keep trying to feed him some political stuff just for him to chew on at the beginning of the show.
You're not going there?
Okay, wow. No, reform Paul Roberts over there. Okay, so anyway, it is warm, and the reason why I bring that up is because I've been trying to get back into, like, exercising, and it is a scorcher. And
does anybody exercise anymore? Does that still happen?
Well, exercise? You know, I think they do. I think you have probably the widest range of what you would call exercise nowadays than ever before, between extreme fit and everything in between. And, you know, we talk about the population or the... Just stop calling them population. The community. Because population sounds like something where people are incarcerated, right? It's like general population. Right? No. No. The community that we basically focus on between...
The peeps.
The tribe. The boomers and older, that exercise is very important. I was sharing before we went on the air that even with my own family, you know, I can see the deterioration faster on people's physicality from a lack of exercise, from a lack of
I hope mom and dad aren't listening today.
No, they never listen. They haven't listened to anything I have said for the last 20 years. They're not about to start now. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, mom and dad. Sorry this weekend. You're looking bad.
You guys are laughing. It's the reality hurts. Right? I mean, you know, we face reality on this show. This is one of them right there. Okay. My sister now may be listening, or my wife.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it'll come up in a family luncheon on Sunday, but you know, I'm the black sheep anyway, so it doesn't matter. But no, seriously, I'm like you, and when I was younger, it's like you get your exercise, you seem to be almost always active. I used to play soccer for fun. I never really did like school sports.
Oh, I was fanatical when I was younger.
Right, and you're always outside, and it's the old cliche where the lights go down and your parents are screaming at you to get back into the house because you're outside basically being active. And then you get busy and, you conform to life and it's the job and 9 to 5 and in the
you're
car.
Really painting
you're driving
a depressing
all over,
picture here
you're
today all across
yes,
the world.
Yes, I am doing it on purpose too, by the way, right? Because you said, does anybody else exercise still? And I'm assuming that means you don't exercise.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, and I'm sorry to say
that. So I'm really piling it on because by the time we're done with the show,
you're going to
go get a membership or Elizabeth here is going to help you or something is going to happen. Because
and they're going to have to explain that to me because I don't know why I stopped exercising a long way. I was very into it. My wife was very into it. We had gym memberships. I used to run a lot. And then somewhere a little bit by little bit, I got older. It hurt a little more. I did a little less. And then pretty soon I woke up and just said, wow, I haven't done that in years.
But the thing what about happens? That is, we have experts on the show. We'll talk about it. But my feeling is that's a vicious circle. The minute you start going down that path, it's like it will hurt more from the lack of flexibility, from the lack of exercise, from the lack of core work. I mean, it just gets worse. It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Which means I'll do it less. The more it hurts, I do it less, and the less I do it, the more it hurts, and you know, it is a vicious circle.
Right, but it always hurt, Paul. Even back in the day when you were running, it always hurt, right?
It hurts so good, though. I don't know why.
Okay, all right. So without going down that seedy path that sometimes you take me down, okay? Why was it that at one point it hurt so good?
I have no idea.
And now it hurts so bad.
That is, you nailed it right there. I really can't tell you. That's where they have to do a little psycho dive into my mental state here.
So for you guys that are on the show for the first time, we always do this babble at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And he always challenged me, how are we going to tie it back to the show? And we just did. So let me introduce my guest today, Elizabeth Logue, like Vogue, I was told, right? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it's actually pretty cool. Because I wouldn't have assumed that. I was going to say Loge or Lagoo.
Yep.
Lagoo sounds...
Have you seen what's the TV show with Donald Logue on it? I think his name is Logue, too. He's the actor. It's a very Irish name.
I have no idea. This is one of those Irish shows that you watch?
Very Irish name.
Okay, yeah. So, Elizabeth Logue. And
she's got the red hair. She looks Irisher today.
Right. If you okay, so a little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening to the show on octalkradio.net by clicking the Listen Live button, because if you're not listening, then this information is useless for you. But if you are listening...
I never thought of that. You know why?
Yeah. Well, we tell people to listen when we're basically... If they're not listening, how are they going to hear us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're very smart around here. S-M-R-T. So anyway, if you're listening to us live, you can also watch us live on the YouTube station for OC Talk Radio or the OC Talk Radio Facebook page. And are we streaming on the Rad Life page, Paul?
I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, because he's always sleeping and doesn't do that for me. So anyway, so you can actually also watch us in the studio so you can get a little bit more visuals with the antics that you're listening to. So today we are talking exercise, and we are talking the importance of physical therapy, really, right? And multiple ways of being able to do it, not being restricted by, age primarily, right?
Correct.
And getting into sort of a more of a healthy lifestyle habit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the additional reason, I don't know if Elizabeth, if you knew, but I do a lot of work with spas and wellness centers. And I actually just came back from Vegas last week at the International Spa Conference. So the conversation has shifted in that industry. It has been for a couple of years, and it's still trying to figure out how to define it. But this shift has happened across generations, by the way, from sort of like the elective pampering, massage, facial kind of maintenance kind of component to a more holistic wellness, healthy lifestyle, probably even nutritional component. I'm going to actually give a plug to a friend of mine who's the spa director at the Grand Hyatt in Huntington Beach, who this Thursday is having an open house, and it's by invitation only, but if you're interested, get a hold of me, and I'll try to get you on the list. But one of the things that they're rolling out is a collaboration between the food and beverage, the chef at the property,
mm-hmm.
and the spa, with a nutritional program along with a personal trainer program. So it has become more and more an all-around quality of life decision, if you will, right?
Correct.
Whereas Paul was saying, I had a gym membership and I would go to work out or I would run, before there were too many cars in Irvine, you could get run over. Right. But, so this is a very important topic, I think. And I think, in fact, it gets more important as you get older. Whereas maybe the common thinking is it's something I have to focus on less and less as I get older, maybe, because societally, before, unless you are like some of your guests that you brought with you, you're not engaged in it. It's something that you basically accept, you abandon at a certain point. It doesn't become part of your daily living unless you're one of those hardcore, constantly working out person, right? So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about your company. Tell us a little bit about your background, because you gave me a list of all your certifications. I'm not going to do it justice. Right? By reading it. Just give us a little bit of background. How did you get into this to begin with? Mm-hmm. Is a question we always ask
on
the show.
And Rod hasn't exercised today. He's a little tired, too.
I actually did go this morning.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, so you're behind the curve here.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. And raising a glass and hoisting a few doesn't count as exercise.
That's not exercise?
No.
Oh, that was...
Especially when you invite me along.
So, okay.
All right. So, how did you get into this? Is it something you've always done? I know you've been in it for a number of years.
And tell us about
decades,
the program,
right?
That you...
What made you get into this?
Your program, too.
What was... Because I always feel that some people, that if they're committed for as long as you have been to this, or any pursuit, there's some sort of passion for this,
mm-hmm.
some sort of reason. Some people have a very personal story that makes them go down a certain path. So what's that story?
Well, it's really kind of twofold. I'll first tell you a little bit about myself, and then I'll tell you how I got engaged in the program I created, which is called ATX. Mm-hmm. Stands for Authentic Therapeutics.
And let's give people the website so that they can follow it while they're listening to this.
Sure. So the website for ATX is ATXWORX.com.
So ATX works, spelled W-O-R-X.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So I'm a physical therapist. I've been a physical therapist for 21 years. I've been very blessed to work in almost every facet of physical therapy, from hospital settings to outpatient. I even worked at the largest animal hospital, believe it or not, in the country. We had 30,000 patients, and I started their first physical therapy program for animals.
Okay, cool.
So literally when I say everything, I've done pretty much everything mm-hmm. in physical therapy. I'm really, my expertise is with older adults, meaning 55 and over. That's mm-hmm. where I've spent my entire career. So kind of.
Let me just stop for a second. Many people don't think, especially when they're like me at 52, that 55 and older considered older adult.
Correct. Correct.
You're knocking on the door, buddy.
You're past that. I got a newsflash for you. You're past that.
I went through the door.
You actually haven't told people in many, many, many shows how old you are, Paul. Go ahead.
I used to say I'm older. I'm just feel so old because I'm going to be 62 in January. But I have one or two that might beat me here today.
Given the good company that we have in the studio, yeah, you're going to be basically outdone for sure today. So 55 and older.
Correct. Meaning yeah. I'm not working with sports medicine. That was not, you know, my passion. My mm-hmm. passion was working with, you know, people who are older, that older than 55.
Well, why do you think that was the path that you chose?
I was always drawn to that. I had wonderful grandparents, and I always found myself drawn to just people who are older. And I also thought, intellectually and professionally speaking, it was just more challenging because they present with cardiovascular disease. There could be musculoskeletal, orthopedic. There's medical. There's neurodegenerative. So there's really a whole gamut, and I like that. I like to be challenged, so you're constantly facing something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're learning and you're growing.
Absolutely,
that way, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So as I said, I've been a physical therapist for 21 years, and then I went on. I became a registered. I'm an experienced registered yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm certified in therapeutic yoga. I also just passed exams and became the only certified cardiac medical practitioner in all of Orange County.
So let's stop for a second because I want you to explain both therapeutic yoga mm-hmm. versus just regular yoga instructing mm-hmm. and then the cardiac component, because I don't know much about that for that second one. I know a little bit about the first one, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of people don't understand that there's multiple categories for that kind of training and certification.
So when you're looking at therapeutic yoga, it was really lovely because I was really combining a lot of the skill set I have as a physical therapist, mm-hmm. and you're looking at possibly folks who come to you might have low back issues mm-hmm. or, you know, might have had hip replacement mm-hmm. and how to devise a yoga program around those particular modalities or mm-hmm. around those particular illnesses or conditions, if you will.
So they can still get the benefit of the, excuse me, the participation in yoga, but it is adjustable to some of the issues that may be chronic, some issues that may be, you know, long lasting or,
correct.
You know, like in Paul's case, maybe from a lack of exercise, I'm picking on you, lack of exercise for a while, that they have certain stiffness and stuff that they can't just go to a regular yoga class. Or some people that maybe have some literally like skeletal issues or stuff like that, they still want to be very active, but they have to have an instructor that's basically sensitive enough to adjust the program for
I tried to do my downward dog pose, but it came out bad dog. Anyway,
and that was pretty much bad joke right there. Yeah.
Did you tell her that you also had the youngest yogi instructor?
Actually, I had the youngest yoga instructor. He was certified at the age of 11.
Wow.
Yeah, Toby Atkins, who's in San Clemente.
I know Toby Atkins. Yeah. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I read his story. Yeah, it's fascinating.
I know him
that
and his mom.
Fascinating.
And it's an interesting story in that. Kind of ties in a little bit with the non-typical, just like taking yoga classes kind of thing. It's his mom had cancer, and it's part of her recovery. Hi, Sahail, if you're listening. Okay, part of her recovery is she basically accidentally went to a friend who happened to be taking a class, and she started doing yoga, and then she started trying to get certification to be a yoga instructor because it really benefited her mm-hmm. in her recovery with cancer, mm-hmm. right? Tabe was younger, very young, and he saw his mother benefiting from this. And he kind of got into it.
And he wanted to help
and,
her.
And wanted to help her. And so by supporting her, he kind of got into yoga. And then, you know, he's got certifications for, like, dealing with kids with autism. His mom last summer basically said to him, okay, you want to go to Europe for the summer, or what do you want to do? And he goes, no, I want to go get my 200 hours and get certified.
I know, it's amazing. It's I read that. Right, yeah. I mean, just so inspiring. So inspiring.
Very giving, you know, perfect soul. You know, it gives you so much hope in the future when you interact with him. Really sweet kid. Still very much a kid, you know. But, again, a point to the fact that this is something, now we're talking yoga specifically here, but this is something that's beneficial across any age, and it could touch and benefit. I mean, I can only imagine what Tabe's life would be is going to be like at 30.
Yes.
When he's engaged in this sort of both on the giving side and improving and helping others, as well as for his own self.
So let's talk about some of her program that you've developed here, because you have some...
What about the cardiac?
You got some testimonials here today, right?
What about the cardiac?
Well, as I said, I went on. I'm also a former certified senior strength trainer. I'm a nationally certified instructor for the Arthritis Foundation.
Right.
And so I wanted to continue, and I pursued this cardiac program because I have personal testimony. My dad has heart issues. Mm-hmm. He goes to the Cleveland Clinic, and most patients I've seen or clients have either as a primary diagnosis or a secondary diagnosis of some sort of cardiovascular disease.
Especially in that age bracket that you're doing.
Well, any age bracket. Oh. Unfortunately, nowadays, we're seeing people, young women, I mean, men, 20, 30-year-olds having strokes and having heart attacks.
Yeah.
So,
especially with the prevalence of obesity. Yeah.
Stress. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we deal
with. But the return of obesity among young people who are eating poorly and exercising less.
Being engaged in that. So how do you go about basically actually even getting that certification or that training?
You study, and then I went on to the East Coast, and you have to pass several physical written exams and also lab exams. And then I came back and had to do several labs. Both of my guests here today, Barbara and Ivan, were part of that too, and get testimonials, and they have to grade you. Mm-hmm. And then once you pass all those exams, you receive the certification as a cardiac medical yoga teacher.
Because I would think that, I mean, there's definitely a medical component to this, right?
Yes. And I don't want to digress too much out of that, but we developed, or I developed, the first cardiac medical lifestyle program. It's actually, to your point, Brad, it's a 10-week comprehensive, holistic, integrated approach to healthcare and cardiovascular disease. And we have all different ages that come. Barbara and Ivan come to my cardiac medical lifestyle program. Mm-hmm. Every week, it involves lecture, labs. It's very integrative. We do a week on strength training. We do a week on cardio exercise. We have a dietitian, Lisa Gibson. She's one of the leading dietitians in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And she lectures twice on heart healthy eating and meal planning.
Very important.
And then we have healing imagery. We do complementary modalities like Tai Chi. So every week we're learning a new modality. And then they go home and they practice it. They journal. And then we have group discussion. And each week builds on the next. Mm-hmm. And it's 10 weeks. And it's the first course of its kind in the nation.
I mean, I honestly believe that that is the only way, regardless of age, that you adjust your lifestyle. It can't be just, oh, okay, I'm only exercising. You have to have almost an awareness of everything that is engaged in your life, the way you go about your life. You know, are you drinking enough water? Are you getting enough rest? I mean, that's the other one that people don't, you know, healthy eating, not only in terms of obesity, but also there's been studies where there's a connection between what you eat and even Alzheimer's, right? So, I mean, that whole awareness and a holistic approach, and to do it over a 10-week period in this particular program case, yes, it takes time and it takes the support, I'm sure, of everybody that's in the program for you to see it through and for it to become more of an ingrained behavior.
And where do they see these 10-week programs? Are these online? Are these at a center?
Where do you provide these programs?
Well, it was interesting. Our company puts out a quarterly newsletter, and I've been very blessed to have big health insurance companies sponsor just the ATX component. Mm-hmm. This is ATX Cardiac. So one of the reps from Humana asked me about it. So this past summer, we had our first 10-week program up in Anaheim, and it was so successful that on November 7th, we're starting our second, and they asked Healthcare Partners, which is a 250-physician organization, so we're going to have that starting on November 7th in Anaheim. Currently, Barbara and Ivan are part, Greater Newport Physicians is funding two programs down here in South Orange County, and we're going into our eighth week. So we can ask Barbara and Ivan can kind of speak to that as well.
Actually, perfect segue. Would you introduce yourselves, guys? Barbara, you want to go first? How did you get connected with Elizabeth? How did you get into this?
My name is Barbara Crow. This is the second program I'm doing with Elizabeth. Elizabeth did originally an ATX program of stretching and yoga at the Norman Murray Community Senior Center, and that's where I met her. I had never done yoga before. Unfortunately, I wished I had known about it when I was younger, but I am certainly benefited because I have a really bad back, and it has been a wonderful program. The best part of it is that she does it both seated and standing, so those of us who can't stand and do it, me, I can do some of it standing now because I've been doing the program with her. But initially, I was just able to do it seated. Because
Barbara, when was this? Like, what? Can you give us a timeline? Like,
it was last fall. Was it last fall?
Recent.
Yeah, it was just before the ATX program. When the ATX program ended, this new ATX heart healthy program began.
And since Rad outed me for how old I am, do you share? Can we
on the radio?
Are you serious? Are you seriously?
Can you give us an idea?
Are you seriously asking asking
Barbara?
A woman on the air how old
Barbara?
She is?
Wait, can I help Barbara here for a minute?
Yes, right.
I mean, that's up to Barbara, but I just want to answer Paul's question. I just want to say, with my program, not just the cardiac, but the ATX program in general, the youngest folks I've had doing my program are 5 and 6.
Okay.
I've done ministry work for abused and battered children and suicidal teens.
Oh, wow.
I've also done homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. And the oldest person right now doing the ATX program, which has Barbara beat, so this leaves, she's 102.
102.
Wow. So I have 5 and 6-year-olds.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Five and six. And she's on, if you go on our website, you're going to see Nadia. She's 102. I actually think Nadia's 103. And she, she heard me speak. I went to a presentation with Alzheimer's Orange County. They asked me to co-speak on fitness and wellness and mind-body modality along with Alzheimer's, and she came up to me afterwards, and you can't really see how tall I am, but I'm quite tall. I'm 5'11".
She's tall.
And yeah, I'm tall, and I even look taller because I'm kind of thin. But anyway, she's this, you know, little bitty cute little thing, and she comes up to me after and she goes, "Do you know how old I am?" And this is a couple years ago, and I said, "I have no idea." And she's dressed to the nines, and she goes, "I'm 100 years old." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I would have never guessed it." Much like Barbara looks amazing for her age.
Yes.
And so she said, "You know, I've been hearing about this yoga stuff, and I decided at 100 years old I'm going to start. So I'm coming to your class."
So again, both in Nadia's case and Barbara's case, these are not people that were engaged in this earlier, right?
And one of the things that Elizabeth hasn't mentioned that I find really beneficial, she taught me how to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
There are breathing techniques, a relaxing breath, a diaphragmatic breathing, and a 4-7-8 breathing that Dr. Andrew Weil had.
Yes, Dr. Andrew Weil, yes,
yep.
Exactly.
So what were you doing all those years, huh? Come on, you weren't breathing?
So there's hope for
there's
you.
There's a way, Paul. And we're going to get you by the end of the show. Hope. Paul will be exercising.
Do you even do breathing exercises, Paul? No, not the
Paul,
deep, not
the heavy,
not the heavy breathing. Heavy breathing on the mic, no, it doesn't count.
You know why we're playing with this, but it really is so important, and I really am paying attention, because I saw with my own parents' deterioration, which we've talked about a lot on the show. My parents died a few years ago in their 90s, and my aunt is now 93 and pretty much an invalid. And part of it is when I saw when you lose the ability to move.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose the ability to just walk to the bathroom or get out of bed or do some of that stuff, how dramatically, disastrously that changes your
life. The largest incidences of injury for seniors is falls.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
My mother fell a million times, so did my dad.
You have
so a
deterioration in your core, in your balance, in your stability. And that is the number one issue with seniors is as far as injury is falls, broken hips, brittle bones, all this stuff. I'm very impressed, Barbara. I mean, can I ask, was it just something you were interested in doing? You were going to try it out? Did you have friends that had done it?
I tried everything else for my back. You name it. I've tried everything, and I've had 2 back surgeries. So
so you had issues that you were trying to deal with, and you thought maybe this will help.
And I had tried yoga many years ago and hurt my back because it was on the floor on a mat.
Yeah.
And because I had back issues and I'm compulsive, I tried to do everything the instructor said, even though she said do it at your own pace. So when I saw that Elizabeth was doing a program on stretching and yoga and it could be done seated, I thought that was something.
But let me ask you the question that I don't think gets asked enough, because I'm always startled. We've had quite a number of people come through the station talking about yoga. I'm still a Midwestern boy. Yoga to me has sort of a woo-woo kind of, oh, yeah, crazy, that's not out there, like acupuncture.
You're a Midwestern boy from the 60s.
Okay. I know. And so
that
on the one hand,
part of your DNA.
I'm from the Midwest.
Right.
So if I had,
I'm sorry,
Irish
Elizabeth.
I'm an Irish girl from the
Irish
West. Paul.
See, there you go.
He always throws the Midwest under the bus. It's okay.
What would you, if I had come to you, I'm going to go back in the time machine, and you're feeling good and you're 40 or 50 or whatever here, and I said, let's do some yoga. Barbara, would you have said, yeah, I'm open to that. I'll try. Would you go, no, I'm not going to do that silly stuff. Forget it. Because my mother was, she would never have exercised. She didn't come from that generation. She didn't want to get sweaty. She didn't want to ruin her hair.
Oh, no.
She didn't.
In that time, I was playing tennis. I was in a bowling league. I was swimming.
You were active, right?
I was always active, yes.
Would you have been resistant to something like yoga?
I probably might have thought to investigate it, but I really wish I had known the benefits.
Yeah.
And can I just interject something here, too? I want to clarify. The ATX program is not just yoga.
Right.
I mean, it's a program I developed. It's actually based on the principles of physical therapy. Mm-hmm. There's yoga. There's some Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. There's breath work and meditation. So that's why I get hip replacements. I get torn rotator cuffs. Mm-hmm. I have people with pneumonia. I have strokes. I mean, I taught Hoag Hospital in Memorial Care last year, asked me to go to every single one of their Parkinson's support groups. Mm-hmm. And I now have a program where I have Parkinson's patients and their caregivers coming.
Wow.
I've had multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
I have had former professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had CrossFitters. I did a whole class for CrossFitters.
Mm-hmm.
So all ages, different, because my program is really a program on active relaxation. And I think Barbara and Ivan will tell you that. So we take, you know, none of us are perfect. We're all an integrated whole, and it goes to what you're saying, Rod. We're so much more than just a bag of bones and muscles and ligaments. But each one of us here in this room and each one of your listeners has a beautiful mind. We have a full array of emotions, and we have a wonderful spirit and soul. And I think in our healthcare paradigm, we need to start integrating all pieces. And I think that's what's truly made ATX so successful.
Well, and to have the wherewithal also on the instructor side or the provider side, that every single one of those people in the class not only are, from what I'm hearing, generationally the wide range, but each one of those individuals has their own individual limitations at that moment in time, their own individual goals, right?
Correct.
And so what tends to happen...
I've got to get Rod to talk into the mic.
What tends to happen, not only on the health provider side, but on the exercise provider side, is we as a society have this sort of one size fits all, and it isn't there's sort of a economics of scale, if you will, in making everything one size fits all, because it's a heck of a lot more complex to basically provide that genuine customer service, that genuine one on one.
Yes.
But in this particular case, especially with someone like Barbara, for example, that has a back issue, right? You cannot do a one-size-fits-all.
That's correct.
You have to have the instructor be aware of that. Ivan, what about you? How did you get involved in this?
Identify yourself first.
Yes, identify yourself.
My name is Ivan Maldonado. I come from South America.
Where in South America?
From Ecuador, Quito, Ecuador.
Quito, Ecuador, okay.
Yes.
Familiar with it.
And since I remember, I've been very active. I like sports in general. But, but, you know, for sure that soccer is one of the major games that we play. But I love tennis. And I've been playing tennis for many, many years.
Did you ever play Barber?
No. Yeah. So, as I say, I'm very active. And sometimes you overdo it. And one day...
Rotator cuffs and all this crap, yeah.
And your back.
Yeah.
Especially when you serve. Pretty sure Barber
we
had it right there. You suffer like a golfer, you know, so golfers also suffer from back problems. So about 10 to 15 years ago, I started developing some kind of back problems. And, you know, you never want to stop, but it really worries me. The first thing that happens to me, I say, wow, now how are you going to play tennis? You know, you worry about. So I say, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have to keep moving. And I went to my mind and said, yes, you have to keep moving. And, of course, I'm being an engineer that I am. My work was in front of the computer, so that doesn't help to
no,
be sitting.
You're stagnant, no. Yeah, sedentary.
That's something.
Not too active sitting in a radio station all day here.
That's sure. Why he's standing.
Right.
If anybody's watching,
yes,
Ivan is actually standing.
He chose to stand.
I think part of it is he's just looking down on us and saying, you know, you guys are a bunch of wusses sitting. I'm gonna stand. But no, I mean, he actually chose to stand. So you're right. And to your point, a lot of people, that's their not a lot of the hours of the day. I mean, a lot of people don't even get up from their desk to even stretch or walk during lunch or something. And so there are physicality issues, not just in your head, but, you know, your body gets impacted by that kind of behavior pattern.
Yes.
Repetitively.
So why do we accept it? Why do we give in? Why? Now, these people are examples of people who didn't, who said, I'm going to seek something out. We're going to fight this. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to remain active and limber and, you know, combat whatever back problems I have developed through the years. I see the opposite. I see so many people. It seems one or the other. You know, people are actively saying, I'm not going to give in. And others like my aunt and maybe me who've just said, okay, forget it.
You know, well, let me rephrase the question for you, Ivan, okay? What made you, I mean, was it that you had an issue with your back? Did you have an injury? What made you
seek out?
Because, I mean, soccer and tennis is not yoga, is not breathing exercises,
well,
right?
Since I'm always thinking about exercising, and I was thinking in yoga before too. Mm. So even you just mentioned about an office, you sit all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me or not, I create my own exercise program with my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
I call
you're
them,
an engineer, you're designing
exactly.
Your own stuff.
So I call the group and say, listen, we have to do something because sitting here all the time is not good.
Right.
So I was a kind of instructor to my colleagues, you know, and then everybody was happy, and it really helps, you know.
So is this how we're going to be different than our parents' generation? Yeah. My parents' generation didn't come from an exercise background, resisted as they got older, particularly resisted anything that sounded foreign sounding to them or different or whatever, although at later years, my mother would try anything to get out of pain. She had Parkinson's, and I wish I'd known this existed because she just fell so often and then became so fearful of moving at all that she just rapidly deteriorated and ended up in a wheelchair, not because of any of those falls or any physical reason other than just she just shriveled up and shrank
all
away.
It takes is one situation.
Right.
Where either you tweak your back or you fall or you almost fall.
Right.
And now if you actually are not actively or proactively doing something about that to deal with it and give you a sense of empowerment that you're addressing it, then the next thing that happens, I mean, I remember with my ACL replacement, okay? Mm-hmm. The next thing that happens is your mind starts to mess with you.
Yeah.
Now you are being paralyzed from actually taking risk because you are fearful.
It's that whole integrated whole.
That's
it's that whole integrated piece. And even with, you know, we're talking a lot about right now the physiology, I guess you would say, of their program. But I really want to drive this point that we're so much more than just ligaments and bones. There's people listening right now who are suffering from depression, who are suffering from panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And I've had those people come to my class, and they come to me afterwards, and they're in tears. And they're like, Elizabeth, and they pull me aside. I've had this happen. And if you don't want, you know, it's so rewarding. I can't even tell you how rewarding it is for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And these people come up to me who've been suffering in these situations that, you know, there is still a stigma out there. Thank God, you know, we're kind of breaking down those walls.
Right.
But this program as well, because Barbara hit on it, the breathing. We do a lot in this class on breath work. We use Dr. Andrew Wheel's breathing. In the cardiac class, we spend two complete lectures, and I show them breathing techniques, not just to help with pain management, which is certainly, but pain can be emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain. There's all kinds of pain. So there's a whole need and a whole range of different things because people are coming to us as people, as whole beings. Mm-hmm. And so
Or not as whole beings.
Or not as
broken.
Exactly.
Broken. Yeah. That's
right.
The problem.
But you have to deal with it all. I mean, listen, I personally do the breathing, okay? And it's funny because I've said this before on the show. The days that I actually do a morning meditation, and I have, and it may mean in order to get everything in place and then take on sort of your traditional role, if you will, in life. And, you know, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you're at the desk, you're doing what you need to do.
Right.
That means you have to commit to waking up at a certain point to allow yourself the time.
Yeah.
That means that you have to go to bed at a certain point to basically get the sleep that you need, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So there's a commitment. But I will tell you, when I do that meditation in the morning, okay.
And do you do it with deep breathing exercises?
I do. In fact, there are times when it's not so much meditation, it's more deep breathing, because I'll tell you what happens with me, and I think this is part of
something to tell you.
Part of the breathing is that when I have a lot on my plate, okay, my mind in most cases doesn't shut down. Okay? Right?
But here's the thing,
Paul. If you get into a routine and proper breathing exercise, okay, it's almost like rock climbing. I used to rock climb, okay? Mm-hmm. It's almost like rock climbing. Mm. When you rock climb, you cannot focus on anything else other than the rock climbing. Your fingers are in information inputs. You're in that moment.
God, I'm 50 feet up off the ground.
I personally believe, okay, call it multitasking, whatever it is, we suffer as a society from not being able to be in the moment.
Oh,
we're constantly either
so.
In the what happened or what's coming or whatever, right? Breathing, to me, does exactly that. I cannot
be focused on
breathing.
You can say that again.
Right? And be engaged in something else distracting me.
Correct.
So it actually balances me out. Sorry, Barbara. It actually balances me out to where I refocus and re-anchor.
So let's let Barbara jump in.
Barbara, do you have something for me?
It's something that has been so beneficial to me, and I do it most mornings. Elizabeth has a CD that has 10 minutes of breathing and meditation, and then a half an hour of XX stretching and yoga. Mm-hmm. And you can do it seated, standing, on a mat, however you choose. I do mostly seated, but the breathing itself, the 10 minutes of breathing and meditation, is a wonderful way to start the day.
I do mine sometimes laying down, and I'll tell you, I'll come clean, okay? I do mine laying down, and I go from a stressful situation, because, you know, we get the night's sleep, and then we wake up, and our minds are immediately all the stuff we have to do, right? I force myself into that situation, and I laugh, because then I get so friggin' relaxed, I actually go back to sleep, okay? because I've basically reset the button, if you will, right? So it's funny because I start off, and my wife laughs, right? She's like, "Yeah, you're meditating. You weren't meditating. You were sleeping." Right? But you relax yourself, and the reason I lay down personally when I do that sometimes when it's really stressful is because everything is supported. I'm flat. Mm-hmm. I'm laid down. All I'm doing is focusing on my breathing, and then I literally zone out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I start the morning. When I'm still in bed, I do stretching and I do the 4-7-8 breathing every morning and every night before I go to sleep.
It makes a total difference.
So give us
your
example
day, right?
For those who I've heard about this. I'm open to listening to it. I don't know why I've resisted some of this
Elizabeth,
stuff.
Elizabeth, teach
years.
Him something to do.
Yeah,
right
give
now.
Me a little something here.
Well, what Barbara's referring
give
to, Dr. Andrew Weil, and we'll use his. The breath is a really powerful tool. And Rod's shaking his head. You can manipulate your breath for so many things. I mean, you can manipulate your breath to be stimulating. Instead of having maybe a cup of coffee, you can actually use something that's organic and holistic, such as your breath, which is a free gift. And there's actually a breath called the stimulating breath. It's also known as the bellows breath.
What? Yeah, I'm not giving up my coffee, but yes.
Come on.
There you go.
I know. I was a singer many years ago and worked with a lot of singers. I understand the importance of breathing for controlling your voice.
Right.
I know the importance of breathing and exercising, and so many athletes have come in here and talked about that. But I've never heard of where you can change physical character, where you can, there are characteristics attached to breath.
And there's even
a stimulating breath.
Yes, known as the bellows breath. Go ahead and you can Google that, called the bellows breath or stimulating breath.
Give me a little shot.
We won't do that one because that one's a little obnoxious when you do it over the air.
Right.
You have to breathe in and out of your nose really fast.
It won't be a dang difference for our listeners.
I don't think you want all that around your mic.
We're both suffering from colds.
That's why we sit him in the corner. It'd be interesting to see what his reaction.
Give me one. Give me another one. Then.
Okay,
right,
we'll try the relaxing breath, the 4-7-8 breath, and both Ivan and I don't know, Rod, if you know this breath, but it's the 4-7-8 breath, and essentially, I always, with any breathing practice, I like to do 3 warm-up breaths. Just like you go to the gym, you should warm up. So you just do a normal. So let me first explain it, Paul.
Yes,
let me do
it.
Let me first explain. That's the PT in me. I have to explain first, right?
Yeah, explain the number.
So then what you're going to do.
We just want to jump in and do it.
Then you're going to exhale. Well, you're an engineer, so you get right? No. You're going to exhale with a whooshing sound, so it's kind of shh. And then when you begin, you breathe in for 4. You hold for a count of 7, and then you whoosh out for a count of 8.
Walk me through that one more time. So I'm going to breathe in 4 times?
No. You're just going to take
count of 4.
You're going to take just a couple of warm-up breaths, and then exhale. Okay, that's we don't want to hyperventilate.
That's
like stimulating.
It's not that
it hurts so good. We've come back to that. It hurts so good. All right. No, all right.
That was you yesterday who called?
Rod, I was just trying to get you warmed up for the show.
And then so after you take your warm-up breaths, you'll breathe out with a whooshing sound.
Just breathe in for 4.
No, not yet. No, no.
I know, I'm just giving the numbers. I can't listen.
And then you'll breathe in for 4, hold for 7, and breathe out for 8. Now, that's considered one cycle. All right?
A lot to remember.
Dr. Wheel recommends you do that 4 times twice a day. 4 times twice a day, all right? 4 cycles. So we'll just have you do one, Paul.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, so just do one.
All right. I'm going to breathe. You got to
just yeah, we'll do it with you.
Right.
Okay, so you normally breathe 3 times, just normal breath, right. Slowly. Everybody can do it. Listeners can do it.
And Elizabeth, is he breathing through his nose?
In your nose.
I can't breathe through my nose.
Then we'll just let you. Okay, go ahead. Paul has a cold. So
I have a cold. I'm stuffed.
Yeah.
In for 4.
Okay, now you're going to breathe in for 4.
Hold for 7.
Then hold it for 7. Okay, but you can't use your lips. And then you breathe out for 8. So let's have Barbara do it with him. All right, Barbara and Ivan, because they know this breath. All right, so you're ready? Let's do 3 normal breaths, just regular breathing. And now let's begin. So we'll breathe in for 4, hold for 7, and then whoosh out for 8.
Or you got to make that sound.
Yes, you're whooshing. Then breathe in for 4.
What if I don't want to whoosh?
And hold for 7. Don't be difficult, Paul.
That's what my mother used to say for years.
And whoosh out for 8.
Okay, do it once because you're just being like a total ham over there. Right? Just do it correctly. One time.
All right, breathe in for 4.
Just breathe normally and then get right to the point where you're just going to breathe in for 4.
Can I? This will probably be part of the problem. I have, since I was a child, a severely deviated septum, so I'm a mouth breather. I never breathe through my nose, ever, never, even when I don't have a cold. I never breathe through my nose.
Then just
breathe.
Just breathe, yeah.
I'm always breathing through my mouth. Now I'm going to breathe in for 4.
You can't talk.
You can't talk. I know there's a mic, but you can't talk. Take that mic away from him.
Can't have dead air.
Can he talk and chew gum at the same time?
Can't have dead air. All right, here we go.
This is what I deal with, Barbara.
We don't have dead air. All your listeners are engaged.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the whoosh is.
You don't need to know what the whoosh is.
I get through the whoosh.
Such a control freak.
I get through the whoosh.
But I'm sorry.
Did you ever have a failure before?
Total failure.
I think we just experienced the first failure of the breathing.
Sorry, you're kicked out of the program. Wow, I can't even do that.
Paul Roberts has failed the breathing program.
I always tell people, none of this is going to work if you stop breathing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, so for all human beings out there that believe that breathing is pretty much part of your DNA. Paul Roberts just failed the breathing program.
I had to think about it too much.
That's hilarious.
But this is your homework assignment, Paul.
Okay.
And Rod's going to hold you accountable, right? I want you to do this
tonight. I'm
going to
hold it to every show.
I want you to do this tonight, and I want you to text me or call me tomorrow.
Are you actually writing it down?
I have to because I'll forget again. So it's 4 in.
Hold for 7.
7 hold.
And then whoosh.
Give me the whoosh. I'm weak in the whoosh.
Look at me.
Like purse your lips.
The whole idea is you're trying.
Hold on. I'm curious.
I'm still not whooshing.
I'm curious. If it isn't a whoosh, what sound do you want to make? I mean, just pick one, right?
Do you really want to go there?
Yeah.
Anything to help him not. I mean, I'm helping Paul Roberts cheat on his breathing exercise test, right?
But Elizabeth, could you correct me?
Correct me
if I'm wrong.
I can't whoosh.
It would be even better if you.
Yeah.
You use your stomach when you breathe.
Your diaphragm.
Yes.
Your diaphragm.
Yes.
Right. That's the very
Yes.
Results.
Yes.
I sound like I was using my diaper. Okay, right.
Good job, Ivan. See, these guys pay attention.
You are setting me up so much right now. I'm going to avoid responding to that diaper comment. It is perfectly laid out for me, but I'm going to spare you. Wow.
Be sure you blow
give
your...
Give me a whoosh. You whoosh for me. Whoosh
yeah,
for
whoosh,
me.
Ivan, give me a whoosh. Out a whoosh.
Give me a whoosh.
Like what?
Make
the whoosh sound. What do you do?
But he's going to do it.
Let me.
Yeah, let him do it. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Can you just jump into a whoosh?
Start now.
Go.
There you go.
Well, that sounds a manly whoosh.
There you go.
I like that. That was a little...
From one engineer to another.
You were intimidated by Elizabeth's whoosh.
I was.
Manly whoosh.
It was kind of a...
I'm very intimidating, Rod, I tell you.
It was kind of a wussy whoosh.
Wussy whoosh.
You know, we are breathing ourselves right out of the time for this show, really, right? No, but it is... we're joking and we're laughing and we're having fun, which is actually great, right? Because this is what you're supposed to get out of this, cool. Is you're supposed to be empowered. You're supposed to be feeling like you have some tools.
Correct.
That are going to improve your life. Okay, there's no expensive equipment in what we just did, right? You have all the equipment already, right? You just have to take the time and commit to doing this. And I will tell you,
that's the problem.
I will tell you, Paul, firsthand experience, right? When I do this, and it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? My whole day. Is and it starts off at a different pace.
And do you do something like this? You just do the this whole cycle.
I do. I started off a number of years ago, and it was I'm gonna butcher her name right now. It was the person who put, I can't remember her name actually, a creative visualization program, and it was a CD, and it had. Creative visualization in it, but then we
it wasn't
had,
soupy sales. No, that
no,
was
it wasn't soupy sales. That's what you. That's what you. That's what you meditate to.
That's
right?
What I meditate to.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, I start off doing visual, creative visualization meditation, and then I basically which sounds kind of odd because it's actually active. It's not shutting down. You're engaging, but you're guiding your brain to do certain things. You're guiding your sense. All your feelings and everything.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I
can't even do a whoosh, and you want me to do creative?
No, that's what I did. And then part of the stuff was the breathing.
Yeah.
And what's cool is that you have a basket of tools, and sometimes one is what you go to, and at other times you may go to something else.
How many different breathing?
We didn't even touch. I mean, all we've really covered here this afternoon, which is great. I mean,
well, we can't get him to whoosh.
It took us half an hour just to breathe here.
And how many of those do I do? I do those. Give me again. I can do.
You're going to do that's one cycle.
One
four,
cycle.
Seven, eight, and you want to do that four cycles. So
four cycles
twice a day. So preferably in the morning. And it's really wonderful if you do it before you go to bed, because like Rod was saying, like you carry all this stuff from our day and what we got to do. And it just really creates, because sleep deprivation is a huge problem here. It's actually the fourth biggest problem right now in the United States is sleep deprivation.
Do we have any callers? Somebody was trying to, I think, get through, and we had a line screw up here. So if there is anybody who wants to call, give them a number they can call you for more information, and then we'll call if they want to call in right now.
Give the website and the number where the people can get hold of you.
Okay, so the website again is atxworx.com, and you can reach us at 949-294-2346.
I can't whoosh, but she can't spell work, so all right.
You know what? Don't feel defensive. Let it go. You couldn't whoosh.
I couldn't whoosh.
We'll revisit next week.
I really couldn't.
Okay. But,
I'm embarrassed.
And again, I will repeat what Elizabeth had said earlier. It's mind-body relaxation techniques.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And when is the next, because we're running out of time, when's the next example of this that they can go participate? If I practice my whoosh and I'm not embarrassed, I can come.
You'll be admitted into the class. Right? You have to pass the whoosh test.
You have to pass the test. Yeah, you can't just show up. You got to pass the test, folks.
Well, as I said, we're finishing up the eighth week down here in South Orange County with Greater Newport Physicians. We have a new program starting with Humana and Healthcare up in Anaheim that starts November 7th. But we have other, because of the success of the program, we're looking now at the potential five through GMP and Health Humana next year.
That's amazing.
Since summer.
That is so gratifying to hear that the medical profession has actually
embraced.
It's California. You know, we're the left coasters here, right? But it's amazing because I have seen defensiveness on both sides of this.
That's what
on
I was
the wellness
to get at
and
earlier.
Fitness community
yeah, right.
and on the medical community, and at the same time, personally crossing the line a little bit from one camp to the other, you know that there are benefits, and I'm so happy to hear that, that not only is it too, the medical, yeah. but also the insurance side of things is also real.
Because they were resistant to
well,
any of these
preventive, preventive is huge
yes.
and has a direct, real impact on everything, including cost.
Well, and the thing is, I want to also just, you don't have to be a member of their plan. Mm-hmm. It's open. You could be Kaiser and come to the Humana program or
what's,
GMP.
What's
you
the could, cost?
It's nothing. It's free.
What?
It's free.
Yeah,
oh, come
yes.
on. There must
and,
be a hidden.
And
you're
so,
trying
and
to convert
point,
me into something
this
here.
Has been, you know, this has been an upward, you know, little struggle for me.
Mm,
but
sure.
I've had a passion to do this because right. I started working at very small as a contract PT, going to hospitals, going to nursing homes, and I just started working with my hip patients, with my strokes, and started throwing kind of, not literally, but figuratively speaking, these meditations, you know, okay, let's try some breathing. Because as you said, if you're laying in a bed with a stroke and you were somebody who's 54 years old and you can no longer work, you want to talk about depression?
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you some real, so we would use breath and meditation to help not just the physical, but the mental and emotional. And I'm telling you, I get them rehab so much faster by incorporating all of this.
Well, see, I have a friend, okay?
Kudos.
Younger than me. What? Kudos for having
kudos. A no, okay. Kudos for pushing this
right.
through and getting insurance companies to open their eyes to the power of preventative things and what we used to call alternative ideas and working these into a mainstream program
honestly,
for free
I mean,
that people can access and do, you know. This
I have a friend from Ecuador who happens to be a business owner here. He plays soccer. Yes, I do. I actually have friends from Ecuador. What
he
is with
people
you people?
The world.
I'm so
kudos
crazy.
For having friends.
And they're both engineers.
And
what is this?
What is this? Yeah. I'm being picked on by engineers. Okay. But because I said my father was an engineer, but you guys just like have a clan or something?
We do.
Okay. But he plays soccer.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
And he's probably in his 40s. He plays soccer. And he got side tackled. And it broke his ankle, and so he went to Kaiser, and did the surgery and everything, right? And so now he's on the little scooter, where his you know because he's got to get around in his office and stuff like
right.
that. Okay, you just brought something to mind. He is waiting because I saw him yesterday, and he's waiting to get to the point where he's being released to physical therapy, right? And I'm thinking. All this time that he has been basically dealing with this, which is about 3 to 4 weeks, is a time that he could have actually been given certain exercises to help him.
Could have been whooshing.
He could have been whooshing, basically, right. He could have been meditating, he could have, you know, things. Because once you now go to physical therapy, you're now already empowered with certain techniques and skills that probably will help you get more out of your physical therapy. And the more likely to basically continue through your physical therapy versus now all of a sudden we're having to teach somebody, here's what you have to do, and here's the discipline you have to do, and the regimen and the routine. It's interesting. Same thing with, like you were saying, with stroke. I mean, what are you going to do, right, till that person has even the ability to actually react, or maybe if there's partial paralysis. But there are certain things that you can still do to help them.
And I marvel at how more open-minded we're all becoming to try anything as we get older. I talked to my friends back in the, I'm from Michigan, the Midwest. You know, if I called them 10 years ago and said, hey, I was thinking of taking yoga or Tai Chi or whatever, they'd ridicule me. Now, I'm not so sure they would. And I know that my parents had a home in Sun City, which I've inherited out in Palm Desert. They have lots of Tai Chi programs. They have lots of, so these are not far out. These have become mainstream ideas of how to deal with, because traditional medicine, as somebody said a long time ago, Western medicine is really great if you break your leg. But if you've just got an ache and a pain, it doesn't really know what to do other than give you a pill. And that's not the answer.
Well, but we also have the reality. And I think it's interesting when you look at, like, you know, from a helicopter, you're looking down at the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we are merging this stuff as there's a real need because of the size of the population or the size of the community that is in need for this kind of technique.
Desperate
to training is this baby boomer community. You got 78 million people. You have 78 million people that are basically in this country that are in that age bracket.
Yes.
And you have a major problem with our existing system that is set up to provide for those people as they get older. We are completely undersized. We completely are underfunded. There's not enough money that goes into this, and we have this huge community that's coming in. So we have to, for lack of a better word, get creative in how we're going to basically provide the healing component, possibly the medical component, and costs are only going up.
Mm-hmm.
So to teach somebody how to breathe and have them get whatever incremental benefit from that in their daily life, that has a real, genuine, positive impact on the quality of life that they lead.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I read somewhere recently that researchers are now saying that mind-body relaxation may be the single most important key element to being healthy and being well.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-body relaxation techniques.
Yeah.
And I do believe in both Eastern and Western medicine. I definitely do. I'm not, you know, I definitely
feel, benefits from whatever benefits.
Right. But the part is, a lot of times, myself included, you know, until I started kind of becoming more aware of these techniques, you know, I wasn't doing with my patients. But as I became more aware, mm-hmm. and said, hey, you know, Rod, total hip person, would you like to try this? And mm-hmm. most people are like, yeah, I'll try this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the knee replacement in bed, and they're mm-hmm. like, I'm just... For most of the day, if there's PT not mm-hmm. in there, I'm sitting here. I'd like to be doing something. Mm-hmm. So you give them something to do, and they start finding this breathing and the meditation, in addition to, is helping them. And I'll tell you, I had a lady who had a torn rotator cuff. She had already had surgery. She mm-hmm. started coming to my ATX classes. She was going through physical therapy at the mm-hmm. time. And she started, much to what Barbara was saying, she started doing the breathing with her physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And he started asking her, well, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And she was, especially what we call the end range, when mm-hmm. you're trying to get more uh-huh. right? And she started, because it's painful. And she started doing it. And for her, at least, it became very successful. Mm-hmm. She said, one of the fastest rehabs. And she has full range mm-hmm. of motion.
Wow.
Now, again, I'm not going to overpromise. We don't know, everybody's different, but here was a testimonial.
It's another tool. It's
another technique.
Right.
We live in Southern California, beach volleyball, right? I mean, it's same situation. Full range.
Volleyball.
Yeah,
you grow up in San Clemente. Nobody plays beach volleyball.
I play beach volleyball in Huntington Beach. So that's got nothing to do with San Clemente. So park that one.
All right.
But I mean, it can happen to anybody. And it can happen from you know, you're a weekend warrior. You're basically going to be out there working, you know, doing something.
So are baby boomers going to refuse to go gently into that good dark night, as the famous poem?
I don't know. You're one of them. What's your answer to your own question?
I mentally say I am, but I haven't really been walking the walk. I've allowed myself to stop exercising, and yet I look ahead at what happened to my parents and what's happening to my aunt right now. And I fear for those days.
So what are you doing about that? Because here's the thing, and this is for the benefit. Hold on.
Greatly.
Yeah. Well, that's what the previous generation did too.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
No, but I'm doing this. I'm putting you on the spot because we have listenership that's listening to this. We've been talking about stuff like this that benefits people. The awareness that you get from being exposed and maybe looking at stuff that you didn't really want to look at, whether it's, you know, everything from hospice to health to whatever, right? Hospice and health, did I just mix those two together?
Yeah, I just did.
Okay. So you've been sitting in that chair for 3 years. You have a personal, I mean, listening to the show.
Yes.
You have a personal reference point with your parents.
Yes.
You have a personal reference point currently with your
I have no excuse.
Aunt.
That's every week
so
we
here,
talk about
So here's,
this.
Here's the really no where excuse. The rubber meets the road. What is it that makes you not take action when you have that knowledge base?
I'm not sure.
I understand there's a time restriction with other things, but
I can give you quick, easy answers. Time is a big one. I spend many hours here. Exercise seems it's that difficult proposition you get at where everything you do, you say, oh, that just seems a little more painful, a little harder. I guess I'm going to put that off. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that later. And then all of a sudden you put it off for 6 years or 6 months or something here. And I think it's just the fear of part. You know, I hate to say it.
Part of it is
just if I don't think about it, it ain't happening.
But hold on a second.
Let's be honest.
No, I understand that. But is there a part of it that speaks to you not valuing giving to yourself?
I hate myself. No, I don't think so.
Or giving to others first to the point where you're not giving to yourself.
Well, that's clearly, you know, we all get caught up in that routine. you know, you got to give to your business and your family and your kids and all the other
stuff. And you're like the last one on the totem pole.
Yeah, I think that certainly happens.
Well, here's the interesting thing, okay? If you don't give to yourself in this capacity, you got nothing in the gas tank.
Oh, yeah. No, I got no excuses. I saw what happened as my parents got older and that lack of exercise and that lack of willingness to try anything. And
direct impact on quality of life on a daily basis.
Horrible.
I mean,
and then as real things came up, my mother was never going to get Parkinson's disease, but she did. And that just totally, the last 10 years of her life was a living hell. It was a living nightmare to the point where she didn't want to live. You know, when she finally died, I've said this many times in the show, and it's a shocking statement, sitting around the, you know, she's gone in the hospital for 18th time, and they think this is the final one. She got so weak and just so depressed and so, you know, frail. And because she didn't move, didn't go anything, didn't do anything. She just lived in a wheelchair, and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. And was suffering and hated life and hated everything around her. This is a woman who loved life, who was full of life, was funny and, you know, exciting. At the end, I remember sitting there with my aunt and her sister and my dad. And they say, well, you know, we're good Irish Catholics. Well, let's say a prayer for Mom. And I said, what are we praying for? You know, we're really praying she die.
Correct.
And that was horrible. Now, she wasn't that old. She was in her late 70s or whatever here. So, you know, part of that is creates this fear in all of us that we don't want to get older. So we don't want to face any of that. We don't want to deal with any of that. But the sooner we face it and start to fight and build up these skills.
We have an added reality that I don't know that it's ever been the case in this country at least, but I think it's global, okay? Is that people are living longer
than ever.
Okay.
And they're lucky us, we're going to be living in our 90s
and
100s.
And to a greater extent, yes, we have diabetes, we have high blood pressure, whatever, but to a greater extent, they're kind of functionally healthier longer.
Right.
Right. But that means that any of these small things that you don't take care of, now you're dealing with them for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
And they're becoming more and more entrenched, right? I mean, I think, to be honest with you, whereas in the past, when I was younger, the exercising so that I'm basically fit, and I look good, you know, in the summer, and, you know, be out there on dating scene or whatever.
Right.
You know, these as motivators, as much as those may or should have held a reason for me to exercise, which I never did, right? I really believe as you get older, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at, you know, lack of balance. My father's shuffling a little bit because mm-hmm. he's afraid he's going to trip.
Balance is
a big
problem.
All of this stuff, right? I think I have more incentivization to actually work on being physically fit now than I did ever before. Yep. And part of it is actually not just fear. Part of it is selfishness, that I want to have a sustainable quality of life as long as possible.
Correct.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Whether I'm out there playing tennis or soccer or not, but to get to the point where I'm afraid that I'm my trip.
Fear is the motivator.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, for the first time in history, we have the fastest growing segment of our population are people who are boomers and older for the first time ever in our history.
And especially in Orange County.
And especially in Orange County. So
largest concentration per capita.
Can we, we got caught up in this, I failed to admit, we had a caller, she didn't want to give her name, she didn't want to ask any questions, but she's been listening, and she's in her 40s, and she has a heart condition, and I think she's just really interested to hear more about what you're doing, so can you give her the website once again, and give her, I don't know where in the county she is, but give her some other examples of where she can read about this, or participate in it, or learn more about
it. How can she find out more about it?
Well, the best place right now would be to go to our website, and I want to give that again. It is ATXWORX, and I slow that down because people sometimes, what did she say?
WORX.com.
And like I said, this really is the first of its kind. I'm from Cleveland, and I told you my dad is a Cleveland Clinic heart patient, you know, number one heart hospital in the world, number two rated hospital in the nation, and very blessed. My older sister's friend runs all the global projects for the Cleveland Clinic. So I went home recently because my dad had an incident, and in that I was able to visit with this gal, and I just showed her my program. Now, knowing, you know, this is just a very, you know, we're just starting this program. And, you know, as any program, you make tweaks as you go.
Sure.
But we're doing actually little data points on it. Like, how did, and these guys are part of it, Barbara and Ivan, but looking at blood pressure, weight loss, how many times did you exercise before? How at the end of 10 weeks, how much are you now?
Real metrics.
We have metrics. Yeah. So I was able to actually show her a bar graph and show her how comprehensive this program was. And she, you know, we're now in conversation about the possibility of maybe taking this to a different place, right, with the Cleveland Clinic. I mean, that's just a conversation.
Can this work for people who maybe are, I don't want to say waited too long, but are now really, like my aunt, invalid or can't move or in a wheelchair or very, you know, bent
is,
over?
Is there it's too late?
Yes.
I don't think it's never too late. And the research will say that too. Now, obviously, there are certain things, you know, that have to be modified and done differently. Like I said, I've had people with cerebral palsy. I had this young gentleman. I'm going to guess this man was in his 20s. He came with his mom to an ATX program, walking with his walker. Mm-hmm. And she had to help him lie down. Now, as Barbara said, you can sit, you can stand. We can, you know, modify this. But he happened to come to a class with his mom that was lying down. Everybody mm-hmm. was, you know, of that age and able to do that. And he got on his mat and did it. Now, you know, we have people, the lady I told you about, this 102, she has a walker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we modify it according to the person. I also teach a class at Alzheimer's Orange County mm-hmm. that we have people in wheelchairs and walkers and all kinds of different diagnoses, and you know they do what they can, but everybody can breathe, and you know, and you move what you can. And did you want to add to?
Well, I was just thinking that your CD, the breathing part and the seated part, there are parts that I think somebody even in a wheelchair could do. Mm-hmm. There are some before she starts the program, you do breathing and relaxation, and there are exercises are part of the yoga that I think anybody can do.
So and well. I will tell you, if thank you for that, Barbara, too, if people are interested, because obviously, you know, I'm here. My parents have the DVD and a couple of their friends back in the Midwest
right.
because they have situations. My parents are in their mid-70s.
Right.
And so if you're interested in the DVD, you can also get that off our website.
Okay. And any online things for those of us that, you know, as CD players go away, DVD players go away, is there an online version that we can watch YouTubes or other sorts of things?
We do have an online on our website where you can go in and actually watch one of the programs, and you'll see it on.
That would help me.
Yeah.
Because I'm more of a digital kind of guy and everything here, I would be much more likely to watch something on
but
YouTube.
But you can do it sitting in your chair at your computer.
Yeah, and so if it was here, or if I could do something watching
well,
it, standing in the chair, I mean, I don't have any way to play a DVD or a CD here in the studio or my home studio either, really. The world has moved on from that. So
yeah, I know, I'm still archaic.
You are. So I would encourage you to get digital.
I need your help, Paul.
I think
I need
you
your help.
Well, we'll do a trade out here.
Okay.
Will you help us here?
There you go. I'll help you whoosh, and you help me get come up into the 20th century.
Yeah, so, 21st century.
Or 21st.
We passed the 20th century. I don't know whether you noticed that, but we're in the 21st century.
So, Barbara, I have a question. After your experience with this, have you had other people that you have talked to, people that you know, friends, family members, whatever, that have basically, maybe it has opened their minds to possibly doing this?
Well, I sent the tape to two people, a friend in New York and to my cousin in New York.
And what was the response from them?
Everybody's doing it and find benefit. And I, as I said, I started late in life, but fortunately my children are very active.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does yoga and exercise and mm-hmm. mountain biking and mm-hmm. surfing and whatever. So I'm really glad to see that they're
good for them.
They're healthy.
What about you? Your friends, your
any enlightenment, your any resistance, any what's the world say when you go out and preach this?
Well, yes, everybody is. I think my friends in general are very active.
Mm-hmm.
So people like almost saying that I do. I mean, I like
right.
to keep active myself. So they do different type of exercise. So they're.
But they look at you and go, come on, Ivan. Breathing and stuff. Come on,
buddy. Something that really impressed me is the meditation mm-hmm. of Elizabeth and the breathing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
those two things. It's about a little bit over a year when I first time that I met with Elizabeth. I was so impressed the first class that I went there.
And had you done meditation before?
Yes. No, never mm-hmm. in my life. So that's something that really changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me,
mm-hmm.
it changed the way I think now.
How long have you both been participating in her programs?
I've I've been there for almost a year and a half.
Oh, easily like a year and a half, 2 years, both of them.
Right.
I mean, so we were in the first class.
And how many people have gone through these programs, roughly?
Hundreds.
And let me tell you, I mentioned before I have problems with my back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, if I don't exercise with techniques that I have learned, it goes back again.
Yep.
But I keep doing it, and I'm pretty happy with that because, really, I can see the results. A positive result.
You know what you're really pointing out to, which is really
I think
this is where the hope is that people you got to do two things. You got to get your head around or your physicality around the fact that you got to give to yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And that you got to give to yourself in a manner that is sort of a regiment of wellness and a maintenance regimen. This is not where
pampering.
You know, extreme sports or pampering. This is the same as brushing your teeth. This is the same as making sure there's oil in the car, that it's maintained regularly. Because when you don't, your back hurts.
Right.
But the minute you get to that point, and man, I will give money to see you meditate. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I will give money to see you meditate. No, that's not meditation. No,
that's not meditation. That's like me saying it's a 20th century.
Yeah,
you're back in the 17th. You're way out there.
I'm way out there. Yeah. No. But
Namyo Rengekyo. Oh,
that was wow. I'm actually impressed. Okay, no. But
I dated a girl once, made me do that. So anyway,
I don't want to know. I really don't want to know. But no, seriously, I think this is where the hope lies, is that things like this, like what Elizabeth is doing, proof positive right here with Barbara and Ivan.
Yeah.
Okay? That it's not really even age-related, right?
I want to hear the 102-year-old woman. I want to hear
her. Oh, she's a hit.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
I think if she was in here,
I was excited.
I'm having a feeling if she was in here and you failed your shush, it would have been over for you.
Done.
You've been toast. You'd be like, out of here.
Because that's what we're all hoping for. You know, we look ahead with some fear and trepidation. I don't fear, at this age, my grandparents all died in their 60s. Just nobody in my generation lived. My aunt is the exception. My dad and my mother's sister lived into their 90s now here. But I look at the whole family history, not for any particular reason, just people died in those days in 60s by 70 or whatever. That's why they created Social Security to be 65, because they didn't think you'd live more than a couple of years. Now that has just blown through. So we're all assuming that, hey, I'm not old at 62 anymore here. I still have a lot to do. I'm still running a business. I still have lots of things to do. Mm-hmm. The thing that I fear, and so many of my friends fear, and my wife fears, and none of us really want to talk about, is what happens if? What happens if we get a stroke? Osteoporosis, the curvature of the spines and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all these terrible things. What if then? Oh, my God. And in those days, my parents had a next-door neighbor who had a stroke and lived a horrible existence in a home for 15 years. Usually, if you had a stroke, you didn't live 15 more years.
And sometimes it may be because you didn't.
Modern medicine can keep you alive.
Well, yeah, but nobody told you that you had an alternative to that.
Right.
Nobody knew that you had an alternative to that. Okay? What we're doing here is we're telling you have an alternative to that. You know the old adage, and I had to look it up to get it right. You know, take care of your body, because it's really the only place you live.
Yeah, right. Right?
Same applies to your mind.
Well, I can only tell you what it was, either Groucho Marx or W.C. Fields said, but one of the two said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. I guess it was Groucho Marx. You know, who knew that we were going to live this
long? And that is so applicable today, honestly, because of the fact that we are living longer, we're around longer, whatever our sins in the past are basically coming along with us longer, right?
Right.
But there's still stuff always. It's never too late to actually do something.
That's what I'm hearing.
To adjust... Yeah. Your quality.
One last time, give us the site, and then we got to go.
I just want to say really,
yeah, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I just wanted to, I'll just bring this kind of full circle, but I just wanted to thank Rod and also you, Paul, and obviously Barbara and Ivan for coming here to
me. I couldn't even whoosh. You don't thank me.
But the thing is, what I want to say is, you know, doing this, this is taking this to a new self-awareness, because mm-hmm. the whole idea is prevention, too. Mm, we're trying to get people aware so that you don't wait till you have a stroke to start maybe trying some of these things.
Exactly.
It's not saying doing this means, you know, there's no guarantee that you're not going to have a stroke, but this is, you know, having a good diet, getting plenty of sleep, you know, doing some breathing. I mean, like Rod said, it takes literally, it can take seconds, literally. I mean, when sometimes I tell people at work and they're really stressed out, I show them a breathing technique. They go off into a room, they do it, they come back, and they're able to focus.
Wow.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that it's all about getting the word out, raising awareness, mm-hmm. so that we can start doing some prevention, because, you know, that's the big key. So thank you for allowing me, I'm very grateful, the opportunity to come here to share, to get this out and bring it even to a bigger audience.
No, that's wonderful. And it is, anybody who does this, and the results, I would say, are relatively quick. And it's not results in terms of your physicality changing. It results in terms of your mannerism and your mindset changing. You know, your state of mind changes. When you take these on and you open yourself up to the possibility that they may have some benefit to you and you try them out, I think every single person experiences that benefit differently, but it's there,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it could be as simple as in the midst of all your chaos and taking kids to school and all this stuff that you've given yourself that 5 minutes in the morning, that extra 5 minutes because you woke up an extra 15 minutes early, you give yourself that 5 minutes to breathe, to meditate, to get your head in that space where anything that life was going to throw at you that day, you are better set up to deal with it.
Correct.
Website one last
if
time.
That is not worth a million bucks right there in our daily lives that are hectic like crazy right now, I don't know what is.
You're right.
So let's give the website
a website once more.
So the website again is atxworx.com.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara and Ivan and Elizabeth.
For sharing this, for sitting through our insanity and our craziness, for trying to teach me to whoosh. And keep at it, keep going, and keep coming back to tell us how it's working for all
and
of you.
Get hold of us for The Rad Life on Facebook, RAADLIFE. You can always email me at Rod, RAAD.GHANTOUS@gmail.com. Or, yes, you can call me at 949-212-8299. Whether I take your call or not, it's a different story. But no, I'll take your call.
Try.
Right? And we'll be back next week. This was really great.
And don't forget to tell Paul he still owes. He has to text me or call me tomorrow after he does his week. We're not going to let him scapegoat just because we're going off air.
He has to do it tonight.
Remember, Rod, you have to hold him accountable.
No, I'm holding him accountable. Okay. In fact, if we're not anywhere
around I have to get that in.
If you're not doing it in front of me, which I will hold you to that, we're starting tomorrow, next week's show. Right now, you want to hear Paul breathe?
Whoosh.
You tune in next week, right? But I want video evidence, okay? Proof of breathing.
I'll put it on YouTube tonight.
Proof of breathing, proof of life. I want that on video, right? And we are going to start next week's show with him breathing. So come on back and listen to him breathe.
You've been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos. Brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.